And it made, you know, complete sense to pick a topic relating to Yom Yerushalayim. And so I picked a halachic topic, which is not really what I want to speak about, but I want to use it to make some bigger points. Everybody knows there's this never-ending machlokes about whether you can go on the Har HaBayis, you know, and come close to the Makom HaMikdash or not. I think it's without a doubt the case that most of who we would call Gidolim, or most people who are acknowledged as, you know, decisors of Jewish law in the world, are against. But there are a significant number of serious Talmidei Chachamim who are in favor. And I also think it's obvious that that list is growing. Okay? Now, let's be clear. I don't think it's the case that people who prohibit going on the Har HaBayis are frommer than those who don't. I don't think it's the case that people who go on the Har HaBayis love Yerushalayim more than the people who don't. I think reading politics into this is unfair. But it's a fascinating machlokes. What I want to do is use it as a framework to talk about what obligations, if any, do we have bizman hazeh to the Makom HaMikdash. Okay, you know, we obviously, if the war played out differently or if the politics played out differently, you know, we could have the Har HaBayis now. Would our lives be different? Who knows? But let's start at the beginning. Let's just make some obvious points. It's an Isser D'oraisa for anybody to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's allowed once a year for the Kohen Gadol. It's an Isser D'oraisa for people who are Tamei Meis to go into where the Kodesh was. I find that when you imagine what it looks like on Har HaBayis, it's much easier to imagine the Mishkan, because I think we know it all better. So, you know, anything that's part of the tent part is Isser to go into when you're Tamei Meis, as is anything sort of inside the curtains. Okay, so there's no machlokas about that. We're all Tamei Meis, and therefore, and there's no para aduma, so there's no way we can become tahar from impurity, get, you know, caught from a dead body. We've all been to funerals, we've all been to cemeteries, so we can't go there. No machlokas. The machlokas is, I guess if there is one, you know, where that is. And the Har HaBayis, as it is today, having been expanded by Herod, is many times the size of what the Beis HaMikdash used to be. Okay, so the people who go say, listen, you know, we're sure that where we're going is not a prohibition. There's no Isser on going on the Har HaBayis, on the Temple Mount itself, even if you're Tamei Meis. Right? It's an Isser going where the Beis HaMikdash was. So they'll say, we know. And, you know, on the facts, they're probably right. Even if we don't know exactly, there is a continuous tradition, and frankly, we do this in halacha also, a continuous tradition that includes Arabs. The fact that they built their mosque over where the tradition was, that the Beis HaMikdash was, in fact, is a helpful fact when we want to help identify the place. Okay, that's the background. But, you know, and also there is obviously politics involved in it, you know, on both sides. Some people will say, listen, it's mutter, but you can only go up if you follow certain rules, including going to mikvah. And if we allow everybody to go up, you know, there'll be people who go up not having gone to mikvah. There'll be people who go up wearing shoes. There'll be people going up doing things you're not supposed to do. And so it's better to not allow them. Okay, there are good arguments on either side. That's not what we want to discuss. Let's pull up a sheet. And, well, before we do, let's make one more point. The part of what matters in going up on the Har HaBayis, I assume, is how each of us would feel if we did it. I know there are people who go up and say, you know, it's inspiring to be near where the Beis HaMikdash was, to see the place, you know, it's incredibly inspiring to me. And I know people who say, it's incredibly depressing. Right, you go up there, they're following you around wherever you walk. You know, there are kids playing soccer on. It's depressing. It reminds me of, you know, what could be and what isn't. You know, if you hang out at the Kotel, so everything's great. You know, we control the Kotel and you feel like, you know, but if you're aware that there's something with more Kedusha, it's more complicated. And I think going up must be, you know, it's a personal experience, but people feel differently. It turns out that that's reflected in halacha. And it's part, I think, of our relationship with the Makom HaMikdash, and it's part of our relationship with God. So now let's look at some sources. Okay? Just, you know, it's there. It's in the first Simon and Shulchan Aruch. We don't really focus on it usually. It's just like a random halacha. Simon Aleph, Se'if Gimel in Shulchan Aruch. Ra'ui l'chol yarei shamayim, shiyehei meitzar v'do'eg al churban Beit HaMikdash. It is worthwhile for anybody who's God-fearing to be sad and to be hurt over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Obviously, the Beis HaMikdash is still destroyed. Yom Yerushalayim and the reunification of the old city, you know, an incredible miracle in our lives, didn't fix the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the halacha is you should be sad. So you should be sad all the time. So the Mishnah Berurah right away says, you can't be sad all the time. Shehei Meitzar. Aval haTorah vaHatzfilah yihiyeh b'simcha. No, there have to be parts of your life. Okay, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, but there have to be parts of our lives that are joyous. Okay, so in the first Simon and Shulchan Aruch, essentially between the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah, the lesson we get is that, you know, being a religious Jew is complicated, and there are times of great joy, and there are times of pain. Okay. All that by way of introduction. Let's start with a mitzvah that we don't focus on a lot. It's in the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam, Mitzvat Aseh Chaf Aleph, and it applies Bizman Hazeh, as much as we've never thought about it much. Says the Rambam, V'hamitzvah HaChaf Aleph, the 21st mitzvah, Hi shetzivanu lira min habayit hazeh haramuz elav ma'od ma'od. Says the Rambam, there is a mitzvah, I'll translate liraz to fear, but probably to be in awe of or to be overwhelmed by is a better translation. We should be in awe of the Beis HaMikdash. Very much so. Ad shenasim binafshenu masa hapachad v'hayira v'zehu mora'at mikdash. Until we internalize, you know, in our hearts, this feeling of overwhelming fear or awe of, or reverence. And that, v'zehu mora'at mikdash, that is a mitzvah de'oraisa, a biblical commandment, v'hu amro yitala, of the pasuk, u'mikdashi tira'u. There is an obligation to fear, or to be in awe of, the Beit HaMikdash, kind of. The Rambam says, v'lashon sifran, the third line, ein li ela bizman she'Beit HaMikdash kayam, right? All of us would say, fine, when there's a Beit HaMikdash, we understand that there's a mitzvah to be overwhelmed by it. But bizman she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayam minayin, but if there's no Beit HaMikdash, how could there be such a mitzvah? Talmud lomar, et shabtotai tishmoru, u'mikdashi tirau. It's a great limud. Mashmirat shabbat le'olam, just like, you know, the obligation of Shabbos lasts forever. Af mora mikdash le'olam, so too, our fear or reverence of the Beis HaMikdash is forever. Again, the pasuk says it connects. Et shabtotai tishmoru u'mikdashi tirau. Shabbos is forever. So fear or reverence of the Beis HaMikdash is forever. Now, what does that mean? So let's just finish. V'sham ne'emar gam kein lo min ha'mikdash atayare. You're not really fearful of the building. Building is just a building. No, you're supposed to be in awe of, or fear of, or reverence of, he who commanded us to build the Beit HaMikdash. So, what do we have? We have a mitzvat aseh, or a mitzvah aseh, min haTorah, that applies bizman hazeh, just, you know, to make it absolutely clear. That makes it like tefillin, that makes it like Shabbos, that makes it like anything, right? It has nothing to do with where you live. It has nothing to do if there's a Beis HaMikdash. There is a mitzvah on us somehow to be overwhelmed by the Makom HaMikdash. Now, we'll have to figure out how we can do that, but it's something we should know. It's as binding on us as any other mitzvah there is. Okay? So how do you do it? What does it mean? So the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka on Hilchos Beis HaBechira gives you some details. Perek Zayin, the third source, says the Rambam, Ve'ezohi yir ato, how are you fearful of the Makom HaMikdash? So it gives you rules. He didn't make them up. They're in the Gemara. Lo yikanes adam lahar bayit b'maklo. You can't walk with, you can't go up there with your walking stick. O b'min al shebiraglav, or wearing shoes. O b'apundato, o b'avak she'al raglav. Okay, not with your wallet, let's say. Not with dust all over you. O b'maot hatzurin lo b'sidano, right? You can't have your purse with your change in it. Ve'ein sarich lomar she'asu larok b'chol harabat. Obviously, you can't spit up there. Ela im nizdamein larok mavlio b'chuzuto. You could spit into your shirt. One more halacha. Ve'lo ya'aseh har habayit derech she'yikanes mipetach zo v'yetze mipetach she'knagda kidei lekatzer haruach. Ela yakifo mibachutz. Let's say you're at the Kotel. You want to go to Har HaZeitim, you know, where your great-grandmother is buried. You can't use the Har HaBayis as a shortcut. You have to walk all the way around. That's a din we know from shuls, right? You can't use a shul as a shortcut either. So all of these, or I was just quoting these practical halachos that seem overwhelmingly to imply you have to treat the Makom HaMikdash with reverence, right? You know, we don't think of walking without shoes as reverence, but in those days they did. Kohanim walked around barefoot, right? You know, walking stick. We have to translate these halacha l'maisa bizman hazeh, but the idea is that you have to go, when you do go, it has to be done with great reverence. And then the Rambam says something else, which is a chiddush. V'lo yikanes lo ela lidvar mitzvah. The Rambam says, oh, by the way, you can't go there, you can't go into the Makom HaMikdash unless you're there to do a mitzvah. That's kind of a leftover from a din that you can't go. It's called Biyare Kanis, right? You can't walk past the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash unless you're going to do something, unless you're going to do Avodi, bringing the Karban, you're going to the Kodesh if you're one of the Kohanim, or Levit, right? There has to be a reason. So some people point to the bolded line in the Rambam as an explanation for why you shouldn't go on the Har HaBayis bizman hazeh. That's obviously, it's not a compelling argument. One, because the Rambam is talking about the Makom HaMikdash, not the area surrounding it. But two, if you assume that to have reverence for a place, you have to go there, well then, that's probably a mitzvah. So the way it plays out practically in the Machlokas bizman hazeh, I think everybody agrees. If you're going there to make a political point, you shouldn't go. If you're going there to take selfies, that's also probably not a dvar mitzvah and you shouldn't go. But if you're going either for religious inspiration, you're going if you hope you could daven, you're going because you want to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fair reading, I think, is that the Rambam thinks it's fine. Okay? Now, just to get a sense for how seriously the Rambam takes not just the mitzvah of Mor HaMikdash, but you know the Shechina as existing in the Makom HaMikdash today, in Halachas Zayin, the Rambam says, "Afal pi shehamikdash hayom charev bavonoteinu." The Rambam knows full well there is no Beis HaMikdash in his time; it's been destroyed. Chayav adam b'morao, kimo shehaya noheg bo b'binyano. Says the Rambam, our relationship to the Makom HaMikdash today should be no different than what it would be if the building was standing there. He says, "Lo yikanes ela lemakom shemutar lehikanes l'sham." Again, the sense the Rambam has is there are places you can easily go. "Velo yeshev ba'azara," right? You can't sit where the azara was because it's usher for people to sit there unless you were melech from Beit David. V'lo yakel rosh kineged shar hamizrach, right? You can't sort of be frivolous, which might get in the way of selfies. Okay, that's the Rambam.
Ellie.
One second. The last four words. Asha afal pi shecharev bikdushato omeid. Says the Rambam, the Beis HaMikdash isn't there, but the level of kedusha that existed when there was a Beis HaMikdash, that remains. Yes.
Ellie, isn't not going onto the Behar HaBayis itself a Mora'ah, just like, Mora's
of... Jackie, you're so predictable. Okay? Give me a chance. Obviously, there must be people who say that. Right? Okay. The way I show my Mora HaMikdash is by not going up. But give me a few minutes because I want to make that point. I think it could be true, but only under certain circumstances. But
okay.
Give me a chance. Okay. I won't be so liberal or whatever you think I am. Okay. Here we go. One, let's look at a Rambam, source number 4 in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, where this is really famous and nobody does it, but this is a, you know, the Rambam thought it was true. Says the Rambam, he takes so seriously, again, the Rambam's idea is that the Beis HaMikdash is there now. It's not? No, it's invisible. But the holiness that's generated in that place is exactly the same as it was 3,000 years ago. Says the Rambam, once you say that, he says, Lefikach, everybody see where I am? Paragvav alacha tezvav avichos Beis HaBechira, therefore, makrivin ha-karbanot kulan afal pi she'en sham bayit banui. The Rambam says, you don't actually need the building to bring karbanot. In addition, va'ochlin kadshe kadshim b'chala azara afal pi she'chareva. The Rambam says there's an azara now. It's destroyed, but it's still there. It has no walls, so what? Va'ochlin kadshim kalim u'maisa she'ni b'chal Yerushalayim. Afal pi she'en sham chomot. Here it is. Shehakidusha rishona, the original sanctification of the Makom HaMikdash, probably done by David HaMelech. Kidsha l'sha'ata v'kidsha le'atid lavo. It sanctified it at that moment, and that holiness remains forever. Ad kidei kach, that the Rambam thinks you could be makriv karbanos without a Beis HaMikdash. Now, practically speaking, the Rambam was aware that we still would need a Mizbeach. We have to find a place for the Mizbeach. Nobody thinks the Rambam meant it halacha l'maisa, but at least in theory, that was the case. Now, just as an aside, you know, there's not much discussion of being makriv, you know, the Tamid Shel Shach and the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim and Musaf in Bizman Hazeh. But almost every year, there's an interesting discussion about what about Karban Pesach, right? Which, if you don't bring it, is the Chi of Kares. And every year, what's the guy's name? From Chevron, like Itamar Ben Gvir, one of these right wingers from Chevron, clockwork. Every year, he gets arrested, Erev Pesach, with the sheep in his car, you know, on the way to the Har HaBayis. Okay. It's funny. Maybe it's sad. I don't know. But that's the Shitas HaRambam. Who disagrees with him? The Ravid. Source number 5. The Ravid, in very sharp language, says, Amar Avram, Svaras Atzmo Hizo, V'lo Yadati Me'ayin Lo. The Rambam made it up, says the Ravid. This whole idea that you could bring Karbanos and the Kedusha exists Bizman Hazeh, the Rambam made it up. And the Ravid has a bunch of sources that say, you know, it's clear that that's not the case. And he says, because the answer is Kedusha Rishona, lo kidsha la'asid lavo. The original Kedusha was canceled when we went into Golos, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And it's not Kadosh anymore. And then there's a strange line. He says, kach niglali misod Hashem li reyav. This is a secret that God shared with me or with people who fear him. Not clear what that line means. Lefikach, therefore, hanichnas atasham ein bo kares. Says the Ravid, a person who goes, not on the Har HaBayis, a person who goes into the Makom HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh, there's no kares. Now, what should the Ravid have written if he thought it was mutter? Anybody? I'll tell you. He should have said, Lefikach, mutar li kanesata, you know, lemakom hamikdash. He doesn't say that. He says, Lefikach, hanichnas atasham ein bo kares. As if the Ravid thinks it's asur, but he doesn't think the punishment for it is kares. Okay, but that's the major machlokas harishonim. The reason not to go on the Har HaBayis is because the Rambam says that it retains its kedusha. Now, again, just because it retains the Kedusha doesn't mean there aren't places we can go. But according to the Ravid, if the Makom HaMikdash doesn't retain its Kedusha, so of course you can go. Okay, it's strange. Because the Rambam thinks the Beis HaMikdash is still there in some form, even though it's invisible. So obviously then, since we're Tamei Meis, you have to be really, really careful. But according to the Ravid, there is no Kedusha there anymore, and therefore it seems like you should be able to go. Why, if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, is the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash still there? So that's another famous Rambam. In source number 6, says the Rambam, V'lama ani omer b'mikdash v'yushalayim Kedusha Rishona. Kidsha la'asid lavo, u'bikdusha shar eretz Yisrael inyan shvi'isu ma'isu sukiyotu b'hem, lo kidsha la'asid lavo, says the Rambam. Why do I distinguish between the Makom HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, where I say the original sanctification remains in full force and effect today, versus the rest of this, the land of Israel, where the Kedusha does not remain in full force and effect, says the Rambam, Lefisha Kedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim mipnei Hashchina u'shchina eina b'teila. Right? It's a deep philosophic idea, which we don't have time to discuss, but the Rambam says the Kedushas Makom HaMikdash is not because of the Beis HaMikdash. It's because of God's presence. And God's presence can't be canceled. Right? God, for all that we have these ideas, they're all, you know, mystical ideas, God doesn't necessarily get sent into exile. If God established the seat of his kingship on the Har HaBayis, that doesn't change. So the Rambam says the Shechina remains no matter what, and he has a limud from the Gemara, V'areyu omer v'hashimo siyas mikdi sheichem, I'll destroy your holy places. What does it mean to destroy a holy place? Well, it wouldn't be holy anymore. Says the Gemara, says the Rambam, V'amru chachamim afal pi sheshomimin, even though they're destroyed, b'kidusha san hein omdim. They remain holy. Okay, but he says with respect to the rest of the land of Israel, you know, there was conquered, and once we got kicked out, so the Kedusha that had come into effect via conquering the land, that Kedusha was canceled. But with respect to the Makom HaMikdash, again, it's not the Beis HaMikdash that generated the Kedusha, it's God's presence on the mountain that generated the Kedusha, and that is not changed by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, ad kan, we have a sense for the machlokas, we have a sense for the sources. Now
isn't there talk about where Yaakov had his dream that there was Kedusha in the place from way back, even before God?
Yes, so that's a good point, Joel. It's one I don't want to talk about, but it's fair to discuss it. And the Rambam talks about this in a number of places also. The Rambam says, all these things happened in history before it was the Makom HaMikdash, or at least we think so, right? Not just, you know, the Akedat Yitzchak, but we have this idea that that's where Adam HaRishon was created from, and Cain and Hevel fought over it. You know, there's a bunch of things that happened beforehand, and in a few minutes we'll talk about something I'm curious about. You know, did everybody know from the start that that was going to be the Makom HaMikdash? But I just want to finish the point we started with, this Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, and the idea that the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that the Makom HaMikdash retains its Kedusha Bizman Hazeh, that's the reason not to go up. That's what everybody says, despite the fact that everybody knows what the Rambam wrote in his own diary. If you look in source number 7, it's fantastic. I found it in the Shalah. It has nothing to do with the Shalah. The Shalah was Rabbi Yishayahu Horowitz. He lived into the 1600s in Tzfat and Akko. He's thought as a forerunner of the whole Hasidus movement. But this has nothing to do with it. The Shalah simply says, I just found it. The Shalah says, I found this in a book written by Rabbi Shmuel Bar Avraham, who copied it in Akko, who copied it Mikitivat Yad Harav Rabbeinu Moshe Maor Hagola. He copied it from the Rambam. He had the Rambam's manuscript, where the Rambam tells the story, we can't read the whole thing, tells the story of his trip to a place called Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam says, it's amazing, we'll read quickly. V'leil achad b'shabbat, on Sunday, Shlosha Yamim L'Yerach Sivan. Okay, it's this coming week. On the third day of Sivan, Yatsati min hayam bishalom ubati la'ako. The trip was dangerous. I survived the trip. I came to Akko, a port city in Israel. Vinitzalti min ashmad. Right, it was a dangerous time. I was saved from the persecutions. Vihiganu la'eretz Yisrael. Viyom zen nadarti shiheyom sason v'simcha u'mishte u'matanot la'ev yonim. Ani uveiti adsof kol adorot. Says the Rambam, I decreed that day, the third day of Sivan, to be a holiday for me and my family forever. Okay? People used to do things like that. That's just the introduction. Now he's in Akko for a while, then he goes on a trip. Ubiyom shlishi b'shabbat, and on a Tuesday, arba ayamim li yerach mar cheshvan, the fourth of mar cheshvan, Shnat Shishava Esrim La'itzira. I have no idea what that means. It's not obviously not the 26th year to creation. Yatsanu Me'ako La'alot Lirushalayim Tachat Sakana. Right? There are crusades going on. We went on a dangerous journey from Akko to Yerushalayim. And here it is. V'nichnasti La'bayit Hagadol V'hakadosh V'hitpalalti Bo B'yom Chamishi Shisha Yamim Li'arach Mar Cheshvan. I'm sorry, Jackie. The fair reading of this line is that on the 6th of Mar Cheshvan, I went to the Makom HaMikdash, says the Rambam, and I davened. Now, you know, people make a really bad argument that, nah, he means he went to like the Young Israel of the Old City or something, right? It doesn't mean he went, you know. But the fair reading is, Bayit HaGadol V'HaKadosh, the Rambam went on the Har HaBayis and he davened there. Okay, that's just the simplest reading. Now, just to get it out of the way, the other side will say, and it could be true, the Rambam may have had a definitive tradition for where the Beis HaMikdash was. You know, it could be that in the 1200s he knew this, and so he didn't have the same problem, but we've lost the tradition. But the fact is, it's buried by the frumer types. The Rambam's own words, the Rambam went on the Makom HaMikdash, and he gives us the date. Ube'echad b'shabbat chisha l'chodesh. Okay, and 3 days later, on the 9th, yatzati mi'ushalayim l'chevron l'nashei kivrei avotai ba'me'ora. I went to the Maris HaMachpelah. Va'oso yom amadati ba'mara v'itpalalti. I davened there. Shevach l'kel yitbarach al hakol. Right, grateful to God for both. U'shnei hayamim ha'elu. Shehein shishi u'chi'i b'mar cheshvan, the 6th and the 9th. Again, Nadarti shihiyu li kmo yom tov. I made them another holiday. Utfila v'simcha b'Hashem v'achila u'shtia. So just a number of points which, you know, pop out. First of all, you know, it's like a mini 6 day war, right? The Rambam came, he conquered Yerushalayim, then he went south, he went through Gush Etzion, got to Hebron, you know, sort of conquered that. Okay, that's interesting. The other thing is the Rambam made a yom tov. Right? He wasn't afraid of making a Yom Tov. The Rambam said, a great thing happened to me on the 6th of Mar Cheshvan, which is I got to daven on the Har HaBayis. I made a Yom Tov. Seems to me pretty easy. The Rambam could make a personal Yom Tov for davening there. You know, it seems pretty obvious. We ought to have a communal Yom Tov for now having the ability to daven there. Okay, but enough politics. That's the Rambam. So now let's turn to Jackie's point, which is a fair point. If I'm hinting at, you know, going or the value of going on the Har HaBayis, right? Well, couldn't it be that a way of doing the mitzvah of Mor HaMikdash is not going on the Har HaBayis? And it could. But we have to try to put the Har HaBayis into some kind of historical perspective. And Joel started with this question before, you know, it was stuffed before it was the Makom HaMikdash. And that's true. So let's ask the following question, because it's one that I'm fascinated by. Did Moshe Rabbeinu know where the Makom HaMikdash was going to be? Or let's do it this way. Whenever there's a conversation about, you know, who has a claim to Yerushalayim, so we like to say, well, Yerushalayim is referenced hundreds of times in Tanakh, but Jerusalem is referenced, I don't know, 3 times in the Quran? 0 times in the Quran, my expert tells me. Okay? So therefore, we must be right. It's ours and not theirs. But we always fudge the fact that Yerushalayim is mentioned zero times in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The name Yerushalayim is never referenced. In fact, just to take, you know, a random source, look at source number 8. The psukim say, oh, the Gentiles, they worship in all different places. Lo ta'asun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem. We shouldn't do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, ki im el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivtechem lasum et shimo sham. No. We have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the place asher yivchar Hashem. Now, we usually read that as the place that God chose. But the real grammar is the place that God will choose. Okay? And then what kind of place is it? Well, lishichno tidrishu uvata shama. We have to be doresh the shechina, and then we can go there. For some reason, there's like a sense that God is playing hide and seek with us. He doesn't want to tell us where it is, but he tells us it's a place we have to look for. And again, in the place that God chooses to establish his name, Shama Taviu, that's where you'll bring karbonos, right? That's where you'll do everything. Where is this place? It doesn't say. So again, we never talk about this, and certainly when I was a little kid, we never talked about it. When we read it, we just substitute Hamakom Hashem Yivchar Hashem. In our minds, we substitute the word Yerushalayim.
Ellie?
Did everybody know it?
Ellie?
Was it the case that Moshe Rabbeinu told them, oh, by the way, the Makom Hashem Yivchar Hashem, that's a place called Yerushalayim, and when you'll get there, you know, you'll see it. So my sense is that that's not true. Why? Because in the early Nevi'im, there's no focus there. In fact, how long was it from the time we entered Eretz Yisrael till we built the Beis HaMikdash? Anybody?
480 years.
Well, it's 440 from when we went in, plus the 40 in the Midbar, and the Pasuk says 480. You ask yourself, they yutzed around for 400 years, right? They didn't know we have to build the Beis HaMikdash. They left the Mishkan in Nov and Shiloh and Givon. How could that be? The sense, I think, is that they really didn't know. And there's any number of psukim I could have pulled out, but source number 9 in Divrei HaYamim, David HaMelech, who loved the Makom HaMikdash more than anybody, and who bought, it was, you know, the field of Aravna HaYavusi, David HaMelech bought it, right? And then David HaMelech wants to bring the Aron Brit Hashem to Yerushalayim. Vayomer David l'chol kahal Yisrael, im aleichem tov min Hashem Elokeinu nifritza, if everybody agrees, nishlecha alacheinu hanisharim b'chol atzot Yisrael v'imayim hakohanim v'alvim v'arayim yushim, let's bring everybody to this big party. V'nasaba et Aron Elokeinu eleinu, and we'll bring the Aron to us in Yerushalayim, ki lo dirashnuha b'mei Sha'ul, because we were not doresh it. Just like the pasuk says, lishichno tidrishu uvata shama, that basically we were supposed to look for the Makom HaMikdash. Now, what does it have to do with Shaul HaMelech? So presumably the din is that you need a king in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's one of the prerequisites. So David HaMelech says, well, we had a king. His name was Shaul. And what we should have done was bring the Aron to Yerushalayim and start building, and we didn't, and it was a mistake. But the sense you get is David HaMelech is telling people something that they weren't so sure of, which is, we found the place, okay, in other psukim, God HaNavi seems to establish that that's the place. But there's an idea buried here that we're supposed to look for the Makom HaMikdash, and we're supposed to be Doresh Hashem. It's not a passive exercise. It's supposed to be active. Okay? We built the Beis HaMikdash. And overwhelmingly, we believe that we will have to build the third Beis HaMikdash. And it will take an act of human beings. And this idea that the Makom HaMikdash needs drisha, needs searching, needs investment in, it's also a Gemara. Source number 10, Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah says, How do I know we're supposed to establish certain things that remind us of the destruction? To Omakra, ki ela pasuk in Yirmiyahu, ki ela arukalach umi makotecha erpaich neum Hashem ki nidcha karulach tzion hi doresh ein la. It means God says I'll sort of cure you because Tzion has been left lonely and abandoned, and doresh ein la. It has nobody who's looking for her. She has nobody who's caring for her. Says the Gemara, Michlal Dubaya Drisha, that the Makom HaMikdash requires investment, searching, caring, what have you. So now let's go to Jackie's question. Can you be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Moreh Mikdash, of being in all the Beis HaMikdash, by not going there? So the answer is, of course you can. But what you can't do is ignore it, right? If you want to sort of take another example, what would be a parallel mitzvah to fearing the Mikdash? The parallel mitzvah would be in Source 11, the fourth mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Ram, which is Yiras Hashem. HaMitzvah Rivit Hi Shetzivanu LaHamin Yirato. To believe in his fear or his awe of his reverence, to fear God. So somebody would say, wait, you know what? I'm a little nervous about how I should go about fearing God. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to think about God at all. If I stay away from God, you know, I won't get into any trouble. That's nonsense, right? How could you do that? If I say, well, you know, I'm a little worried about Moreh Mikdash, but here's what I'm going to do. I won't think about it at all. You know, I'll think that the Kotel is the holiest place in the world. I won't think about the Mikdash at all. No, that's disrespecting the Makom HaMikdash. That can't be. Who disagrees with Jackie's idea? The Ramban. There are other Shitos, but the Ramban in source number 12, it's in last week's Parsha. In a million years, I wouldn't have seen this, but Rav Yitzchak Levi, who's like the world's leading expert in the Makom HaMikdash and is a big advocate, he pointed this out. The Pasuk is talking about a person who gets sold to a Gentile, and nevertheless, he has to keep keeping all of the mitzvos. And says the Ram, for example, et Shavtotai Tishmo Mikdash Itiro, Umoreha Mikdash, Sheyavosham Birigalim, Viyirami Menu. Says the Ramban, how do you do Moreh Mikdash? You go to the place and you act with reverence and you act with fear and you act with great respect. But if you don't go to the place, right, how can you do that? Now, if it's so obvious, you know, why don't people do it? So let's start with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, just because he's my Rebbe. Yeah, I know he was asked a number of times what he thought. And so he gave a two-part answer. The first part I'm not 100% sure of, the second part I am. I think he said he thought it was completely fine to go on the Makom HaMikdash. Then the question to him was, well, then why don't you go? And he said, I don't think I would have enough Moreh Mikdash. Okay, so, you know, if he wouldn't have enough Moreh Mikdash, maybe nobody has enough Moreh Mikdash, but it's a personal thing, right? The idea that I don't go, I don't think about it, to me, that's a violation of the mitzvah of Moreh Mikdash. In fact, if I was in charge of our religion, which shockingly I'm not, but if I was, I would say, you know, you go to the Kotel, you know the ramp, everybody knows that like wooden covered thing which takes you up to the Har HaBayis. If it was up to me, you walk up that ramp till the entrance. And then you say, listen, I would love to go. You know, the idea of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea of being near the Makom, you know, but I'm scared, I'm overwhelmed, I'm nervous, maybe I'll walk a place where I'm not supposed to go. Doesn't matter. To me, that's a mitzvah of Moreh Mikdash, right? It's part of me. I think about it. When I go to the Kotel, I recognize that there's a better place I could be. That's a mitzvah of Moreh Mikdash. But if you just live in Brooklyn and all you know is that, you know, the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from heaven at some point, but right now, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to overwhelmingly desire to go on the Makom HaMikdash. Whether you go or not, I don't think matters. I really don't. I think what matters is that it's part of your life. What matters is that on Yom Yerushalayim, you know, it's not just hey, we got back the Kotel. In fact, I've heard people quote, what's his name? Who conquered HaKotel Bia? Matagur. I blanked on his name for a second. Matagur, right? The famous Matagur who said HaKotel Biyadenu. Of course, that's not what he said, right? He said Harabait Biyadenu, because he knew that there's, you know, that there's one place that's more important than the Kotel. And so I think that we've, because of the political debate, or even the halachic debate about going on the Makom HaMikdash, we've lost touch with what really matters, right? We've lost touch with what it is. If we hold like the Rambam, that it's the Makom HaMikdash and that the Shechina exists there right now, as it did when Shlomo HaMelech built it, right? If you can imagine such a thing, who wouldn't want to go? So if in the end you say, I want to go, but I can't, I think that's the key of the mitzvah of Mor HaMikdash. Or if you go and you don't take selfies and you feel God's presence and his reverence and you cry and you're terrified and all these things, either way, but ignoring it or buying into this narrative that from people, you know, don't deal with the Makom HaMikdash, that's just for Zionists, or that, you know, that's a horrible position to take, and it's wrong. And so I think about it on Yom Yerushalayim. Whatever your politics are, I heard Rav Yoel ben Nun say, if it was up to him, after the Six-Day War, they would have closed the Har HaBayis to everybody. No Jews, no Arabs, right? Nobody thinks that the current situation, you know, is a good result. But it is what it is. And having nothing to do with politics, I just feel like we all need, and me first and foremost, we all need to be invested in the Makom HaMikdash, whether we go or don't go. We can't let the machlokas affect how we feel. And we each have to have a burning desire, and especially today, to go on the Makom HaMikdash, to feel close to God, to understand what the Rambam says, you know, that the Shechina is there now, as if the Beis HaMikdash was there. Now, if you go or don't go, that's a detail. But wanting to go and wanting to feel God's presence, that's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, which I think has gotten lost a little bit in the shuffle of the politics and the bigger halachic debate. But I think, you know, I think on Yom Yerushalayim, if there ever was a day where people have to stop thinking about the Kotel, which is fantastic, and I go all the time, and God forbid, I'm not saying, you know, the Kotel is, you know, the primary place of prayer now for the Jewish people. No one's denying that. And this isn't to say anything negative about it or make it less important. But there's a more important place. And it's a place we have to think about. It's a place we have to mourn. And I really think that on Yom Yerushalayim, in the midst of all the joy, and this incredible joy, and this incredible Hakara Satov for the absolute miracle of the Six-Day War, right? That's the holiday today, and that's our obligation to God. But somewhere in there, we have to remember that even if we had politically kept the Makom HaMikdash, we're still missing the Beis HaMikdash. And we're still commanded to have fear and reverence and awe for the place. So, you know, on this day, if there ever wasn't a day like it, to feel overwhelming Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while at the same time recognizing that, you know, we're still missing something significant and our national lives and our individual lives are still incomplete, you know, it's worth dwelling on. I wish you all a Yom Yerushalayim Sameach and a Shabbat Shalom.
Eli, yes. I wanted to make one comment.